Sita patra vyajaneru paskrita prasunavarshir abhibharshita pati pishangavasa vanamalaya babhau ghano yatar ko tupachapa vaijitai. As the Lord passed along the public road of Dwarka, his head was protected from the sunshine by a white umbrella. White feathered fans moved in semicircles and showers of flowers fell upon the road. His yellow garments and garlands of flowers made it appear as if a dark cloud was surrounded simultaneously by the sun, moon, lightning, and rainbows. And the potency of the Lord, Srila Prabhupada mentions the potency of the Lord within the purport, that normally different aspects of the firmament will appear like a rainbow or sometimes a sunrise or a sunset. And when the Lord is present, all these things can appear at the same time by his inconceivable potency. And in fact, all the seasons can appear at one time, or more seasons besides just four seasons can also appear in any one time. It is the Lord's full of all potencies, and all those potencies are ultimately meant for his enjoyment. And that's why he expands himself. Eko bahushyam. The living entities are expanded for his enjoyment. Because when there are others to glorify the supreme source of everything, then there's ananda. If you think about it, when there's a teacher, there has to be students. A teacher means there are students, and if there's a student, there also has to be a teacher. So similarly in the supreme, he's the supreme enjoyer, so there has to be someone to give him enjoyment also. And he's the supreme appreciated, so there has to be an appreciator also. So the living entities are the appreciators, and Krishna is the appreciated. And this apparent duality. It's oneness at the same time, because the loved and the beloved become one, actually, not in a homogeneous sense, but in purpose. And the purpose of the living entities is actually to give pleasure to the Lord and to glorify Krishna. Then they become happy and they're perfectly situated. And the Lord has unlimited potencies. He's the source of all energies and all potencies. When the living entity becomes separated from Krishna and covered over by the influence of the three modes of material nature, he forgets how to appreciate Krishna. And he comes up with all kinds of ideas. Like, there are many philosophies about how there... Is it too hot in here? Is it warming up? We better cool it down. There are many philosophies like some people come up with the idea that there is no God. That's a unique idea. There is no God. So and that the goal of life is and also they say there's no appreciator. There's no appreciated and there's no appreciator also. And now how could you come up with a philosophy like that? Well, maybe you could see how there's suffering in the material world, and that that comes about because of the variety of the material world. And you might conclude that, well, the opposite of that means there's no variety whatsoever. So you say that, you know, there's nothing. And actually, Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita that this comes from a kind of distorted mentality, vitaraga bhaya krodha. He says that one has to become free from these kinds of distorted mentalities. One of them is raga. Raga means that I have an extreme attachment to the material world, which is a way that we can forget about Krishna, because I think that I'm the enjoyer of the material energies and that it's all meant for me. This is one worldview. It's one way of looking at the world, that it's all meant for my enjoyment. And boy, is that a mistake. Because as soon as we try to enjoy the material energy, as we read the other night, very interesting statement, the moment that we try to enjoy the material energy, that's when we begin to suffer. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a good thing to have in your pocket and to pull out and look at? Like, write it on an index card, and every time your mind goes to try to enjoy the material energy, you can pull out that card and look at it. That every time, that I try to enjoy the material nature, then that's the beginning of my suffering. And Krishna says as much in the end of the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Puriyama Namachala Pratishtam Samudramapa Pravishanti Yadvat Tavat Kama Yam Pravishanti Sarve. The kama-kami. Kama-kami means someone who's a kama-kami means there's kama, there's desire that flows into our mind and our heart, and the kama-kami is somebody who chases after it. So the more you chase after it, the more you suffer. And so vitaraga, raga means this inordinate kind of attraction and attachment to trying to enjoy matter. So Krishna says, Vita, you have to give that up. You have to understand properly that the material world is not someplace that you can enjoy. And then Vita Raga Bhaya. Bhaya means fear, and this fear comes about also because of ignorance. It means that because the material world is a place of suffering, that I conclude that, Hare Krishna, that there must be an opposite situation. And I become fearful of a personal existence. And therefore, I negate the personality of God and all of his potencies. And I assume that there's nothing. This is born out of ignorance, and it's a kind of fear. Bhayam dvitiya abhinibeshita syad. Because of being turned around and in an adverse condition of life and seeing and not seeing the Lord, therefore, I become full of fear, and I try to alleviate that fear by alleviating the conception of personalism and of Krishna himself. And then krodha. Krodha means anger. And that's when one becomes so confused by many different kinds of conflicting philosophies, not having the benefit of disciplic succession, of getting clear knowledge and having one's doubts systematically removed. Someone becomes confused and then angry, and then they say, well, that's your truth. I have my truth. No, you have your truth. That's very nice. I have my truth. And it doesn't, and they relativize everything, and then they become angry and they say, well, there's no truth at all. It's all just relative. And Prabhupada mentions that generally they'll take a shelter of intoxication and take their whatever hallucinations they have to be some kind of revelation, and one's as good as another. All these are influenced by the three modes of material nature, these kinds of understandings of Krishna. And so it's a unique opportunity to actually come in contact with clear knowledge, with real knowledge about Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan. Vedanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yaj gyanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdite. The Bhagavatam shows how the Lord is full of all energies, and that he is the source of all energies means that he contains everything. Om purnam adak purnam idam purnat purnam udachate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vishishyate. And he's the source of Brahman, Paramatma, and he's also Bhagavan. All those three are advaya gyan tattva. The truth means that he contains all of these elements, the impersonal, the Paramatma, and also Bhagavan. When Krishna came into Mathura, and he entered into the arena of sacrifice where he was going to kill Kamsa, there are many, many people there from all different kinds of backgrounds. And each one of them looked in and they saw Krishna in a different way. So there were yogis there in the assembly. And when they saw Krishna enter, now Krishna was a young boy and he was very beautiful. He had just come from killing the elephant, Kuvalayapida. And he had this tusk of the elephant draped over his shoulder. He was sprinkled a little bit with blood, very chivalrous look. And he was swaggering. He had swaggered through town with all his friends. He accepted charity, and the people didn't give it to him. He'd chop off their head and keep walking, you know. So cool. And so he came into the assembly like this, and the yogis who were there in the assembly, they saw Paramatma entering. And the materialistic people, avajananti mam mudha manushin tanamashritam parampav majananto mambhuta maheshwaram. They're covered by Krishna's potencies, therefore they couldn't see Krishna. They just saw an ordinary person coming in. And the gopis, they saw the most beautiful Cupid. And his family members, they saw the best of all family members coming in. Kamsa, he saw death personified. So Krishna says, Ye yata amam prapadyante tamstatayva bhajamyaham. Mama vartmanu vartante manushya parta sarvasha. Everyone follows my path in all respects. Everyone's seeing Krishna from one angle or another. In fact, even in the lowest species of life, there's annamoy. Annamoy is the first experience of consciousness, a living entity who becomes conscious, like plants and plankton. You know what plankton are? Well, they're the bottom of the food chain. And they're little entities. There's trillions and trillions and trillions to the trillionth power, at, you know, in the ocean floating. That's what the big whales eat, plankton. And they're simply like these little entities who float in the ocean and they absorb the sunshine and they live off that plankton. And other fish eat them and then they grow up. And other fish eat the other fish, jivo jiva sajivanam. So even in that stage of consciousness, it's described by the prayers personified Vedas, they're in this consciousness, annamoy. They're absorbing some energy of the Lord as food, like babies. You know, if you hand, like Gaur Krishna the other day, he took a maraca and, you know, Praveena was trying to show him how to shake it and immediately just put it in his mouth. It's made in Mexico, so it probably has lead paint, so that's not a good idea. But anyway, that's annamoy. It means, you know, this connection with Krishna through the tongue, through eating, you know, through absorbing. Annamoy, then there's pranamoy, and there's gyanamoy, vijnanamoy, anandamoy, different stages of consciousness living, but they're all in relationship to Krishna because there is nothing but Krishna. Everything is Krishna ultimately. So when one comes to the evolved state of consciousness of actually understanding the personality of Godhead and knowing Bhagavan, Krishna says that Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajanti mam buddha bhava samanvita. One who comes to know that I am the source of everything, including Paramatma and Brahman, he just drops everything and he worships me with all his heart. He becomes fully absorbed in me. So this is the Bhagavat culture, is to understand Bhagavan. And we know, yo mam eva masamudo janati purushottamam sasarvavid bhajitimam sarva bhavena bharata. One who knows Bhagavan, one who knows Krishna, he's the knower of everything. Sasarvavid bhajitimam. What does that mean? It doesn't mean he becomes omniscient, like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarvavid bhajatima. He means he knows where everything comes from, and he knows the source of all potencies, and he knows that Krishna is the original source of all potencies. And this is the beginning of real auspicious life, to revive one's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna can reciprocate. He does reciprocate. He is reciprocating with everyone. As I gave the verse, ye yata mam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. As one surrenders unto me, Krishna says, I reward him accordingly. And everyone follows my path in all respects. Everyone's on the same path. They're following Krishna. But because of their own personal disposition, they have a certain relationship with Krishna. And when someone becomes very fortunate to come in contact with pure devotees who are giving real knowledge about one's relationship with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one can dispel all kinds of misgivings within the heart and become very clear about how to serve Krishna in the proper way and develop one's personal relationship with the Lord. And the Lord has all potencies to help us. That's why he says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tesham satata yuktanam pajatam priti purvakam dadami bhuti yogam tam yena mam upayantite. the moment someone becomes interested in Krishna, then he enlightens them from within the heart about how to approach him. We know from the story of Lord Chaitanya visiting the Kurma Brahma. Kurma Brahman was a great learned scholar, a very wealthy householder. He lived in a village, and he was a worshipper of the Lord. He had many followers, and when Lord Chaitanya came there, the Kurma Brahman became so enamored of Lord Chaitanya that he wanted to go with him. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, don't speak like that. You should stay here in your village and become a spiritual master and teach everyone how to perform the process of devotional service. And that's the same instruction he gave everyone wherever he went in South India, everywhere he traveled, that he would tell people, stay wherever you are and just add this process of direct devotional service, especially through Shravanam Kirtanam, and involve everyone else in it. Get everyone else involved in that process. And that's the perfection of life. Stanestita shuti gatam tanuvan manobir. By staying in your position and developing this, you will contact the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Kurma Brahma was, of course, reluctant. He still wanted to go with the Lord. I mean, who wouldn't? When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so attractive, anyone would want to drop everything and just go with him. But Mahaprabhu said, you'll always be in contact with me through this hearing and chanting process. It'll be the same as if going with me. And then a leper named Vasudev came along after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left, and he was a pure devotee of the Lord. He was so equipoised that although he had leprosy and he had these little worms that were living in his body, he was so compassionate towards and so detached from his body that sometimes the worms that were eating away at his flesh, they would fall out, and he would pick them back up again, feeling concerned for their welfare, and he put them back. And when he came to know that he had just missed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kurma Brahma told him that Mahaprabhu had been here and he had already left. And it was his life's desire, his heart's desire to have the darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This Vasudev, the leper, he fainted out of separation and out of agony of missing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just by a little bit. And Mahaprabhu was already villages away. But because he's within everyone's heart, Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sanivishto Mataksmitir Jnanam Apoanam Cha. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that I'm the source of remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. I'm there within everyone's heart. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hride Sharajuna Tishtati. Krishna's following us, the living entity within the heart. He could understand the mood and the separation of his devotee, Vasudev, that out of agony of missing him, that he had fainted. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned around and he came all the way back to that town where Vasudev was waiting for him and had fainted. And he came and he embraced that leper, Vasudev. When he embraced Vasudev, the leper, Vasudev's body became very beautiful. And he was cured of the leprosy. He took a golden glow. There was a golden glow to his body. And Vasudev offered prayers to the Lord, and then he asked him, now how will I maintain my Krishna consciousness now that my leprosy is gone and I might consider myself something special and I may become enamored of the material world? This is the worry of an advanced devotee, not to become recaptured by Maya. And so Mahaprabhu told him that if you go on chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, incessantly, you won't be captured by the modes of material nature again, and you'll continue to advance in devotional service. Tarejati tannaijati tadure tadvantike tarantarasya sarvasya taru sarvasya sibhayataha. The Sri Upanishad said the Lord is far away, but he is very near as well. He is within everything, yet he is outside of everything. So Krishna is there through his potencies at all time and personally within the heart. for anyone who adjusts their desire to see the Lord and to worship him, he can adjust our entire environment for us so that everything that happens in our life becomes a stepping stone to meet him. And this is necessary for us to move forward in devotional service. We must, first of all, make this determination that I'm not going to stay in this material world, but I'm going to use this one lifetime entirely to meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to go back home, back to Godhead. And as soon as that determination is there within our heart, no matter what position we're in, the Lord, understanding our feeling, our sentiment, will arrange everything. And especially he arranges to give us good association. In fact, this is a prayer that I make regularly, that Krishna, if you'll please give me good association, I'll take full advantage of it. Whatever association you provide for me, I'll take full advantage as I possibly can, if you'll just show it to me, if you'll just give me that good association. That, as I said earlier in the morning, that's our good fortune. And Krishna can arrange that at any minute. And he can also give us a clear understanding of how to take advantage of that kind of association. As we say, vancha kalpatrubhyascha krupasanabhyevacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Vaishnavas are like desire trees. They actually can fulfill all of our desires to know Krishna. They can give us that. And then what does it mean? It means that I have to be open to asking for the right thing. Prahlad Maharaj says that the Lord is also like a desire tree. The desire tree can fulfill any of your desires, and it doesn't consider who is lower or higher and what they're asking for. It just fulfills their desires. So if you come to a desire tree and you can have anything that you want, and you say, please, let a hammer fall upon my head, then the hammer will fall upon your head, and that's what you get. And if your heart is correctly situated, and you go to a desire tree and you say, please, let me come the servant of the servant of the servant and take advantage of good association, then the desire tree will fulfill your desire and give you what you want. It's based on our desire. Devotional service, the path of advancement in devotional service, it comes down to us. So we have to adjust our own desire within our heart to ask for the right things. That's what we are. We're little askers. So we have to become master askers. And we have to ask for the right things. And I mentioned this in a seminar we just gave in New Vrindavan. Is really, it comes down to begging. You've heard me say this before, but it's a point that is worth remembering, that if you become a beggar for the right things, then you'll get them eventually. Because have you ever been approached by beggar? Where? Where in Vrindavan? Oh, on the Parikrama, on the second half, right? Going down that inside track. They're really trained up, and they don't give up either. Because I have a technique, I can teach you how to get away. But you want to know? And we're on camera. I better not reveal it now. No, that's actually really simple. I just walk really slow, like everything's okay. And as soon as they come up, and I let them all come around me, and then I take off running as fast as I can. They're so surprised all of a sudden, because it looked like normal pace. Everything's okay. I don't make any. And I just run, you know, really fast. And they look like, what happened? So those beggars everywhere, they ask. You know they're getting something, right? Everywhere, San Francisco, you go around, there's people sitting there. They have their own little technique that says, please give me, please give me. India, you know, at the street lights, you can stop somewhere in Delhi or Calcutta. Someone will knock on your window and, and after a while, you know, you'll see somebody will roll down their window and it's like, here, you know. Why did they get something? Because they asked for it, right? So same thing, we have to be with Krishna. And that's what we chant, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Sometimes when I chant japa, if I can get in the right mood when I'm chanting and sitting, my hands in my bead bag, my right hand, but I turn the palm over like this in the bag. And when I'm chanting, I'm going, put it here, Krishna. Please, just put something in. I'll take it. Whatever you want to put in there, I'll just take it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Give me something, whatever you want. I'll take it. So if we beg like that, we ask Krishna, he'll notice. He's giving anyway. Prabhupada always mentions how, you know, he's feeding the elephants. Ramananda Sakaprabhu was telling how he's feeding the ants in the middle unit. He wrote me a note how there's ants. How can we take... But, there's many more ants than there are human beings on the planet. Billions of times more. The species of ants, every one of them, just think of all the ants in the world right now. Just for a second. Think how many ants are crawling around right now. Do you have that in your mind? What are they doing? What are the ants doing mostly? And are they finding food? Every single one of them? Okay, how many elephants do you think are still on the planet? You know? You'll have to Google it, but there's a lot of elephants. You know how much they eat, right? Okay, think of all the elephants in the world right now. What are they all doing? What are they doing? They're eating. Are they getting the food that they want? Yeah, they're getting the food that they want. How about all the whales? There's whales throughout all the whole ocean. What are they doing? Eating. They get the food that they want? Yeah. Everyone's getting the food. Krishna's supplying everybody at all times. He's giving whatever anybody wants. So now, through spiritual association, we get this understanding that food's insignificant. It just comes automatically. Krishna's feeding every one of his parts and parcels, his living entities. Why wouldn't he? We're his. So he feeds us. He provides everything that we need so we can eat. So now we should ask for something higher. And we should have full faith in Krishna's potencies to provide that. So this is devotional service. We become completely absorbed in this idea. And in this nectar of devotion, the science of how to ask is very nuanced, and it's clearly delineated. There's different ways to ask for the Lord. Like there's a kind of prayer. This is called submission. When you submit and you ask the Lord for a certain kind of service, you're hankering that you just want some service. This comes out in the prayer that Rupa Goswami gives, Kama dinam katina katita palita durnideshas tesham jata mayina karuna natrapa no pashanti. Utsri jayatanata yadupate samprata labdabhudis tamayata sharanamabayam mam nyungshvat madhasye. He says that I've been chasing after bad masters for a long time. I've been asking for the wrong things. Asking for the wrong things. And now I want to ask for the right thing. So he says, Krishna, I'm approaching you personally and asking for some service, some little service, seva. This is a big thing because when we actually have seva, when we actually have some service given to us by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we have a way to actively engage all our senses. Our mind, our eyes, our tongue, our intelligence, everything. Intelligence is very subtle, actually. If it's polluted, or we can be after the wrong things. Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita, that the intelligence can become the sitting place of lust. The senses, the lust can sit in the senses. They actually have their own volition. This was proved by Bill Moyer. Bill Moyer did this special on public television about 10 years ago, and he wrote a book about it. And he showed in medical science, Rakshit Prabhu can tell us more about this, but there's that each one of the senses in our limbs, they have their own intelligence. You know, like if you cut your leg, it'll just grow back, won't it? No? Yeah, if you scratch yourself, I scratched myself the other day, and but I don't even think about it. I don't worry about it. I just saw it in the mirror. And I scratched myself. And then someone else deals with it. Who deals with my arm? It has its own intelligence. It's like there's a little factory down there fixing everything, right? Isn't it? It's a miracle. Every part of your body, it has its own intelligence. The heart has its own intelligence and volition. That's how it keeps beating. Are you keeping your heart beating right now? Consciously? No. Otherwise, you'd be really panicked. You know, we just sit here on automatic all the time thinking. We don't even think about it. My heart's beating. The only time you think about it is when you feel it skip or something. Wait a minute. Is that going to stop? You know, but it's going on. It has its own intelligence. There's a whole system there in place. And lust can sit in those places because of wrong kind of association. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunkte prakriti jangunan karanam guna sangosya sadasad yoni janmasu. We become influenced by our sangha. And the senses with sangha in the modes of material nature, it becomes influenced, each one of the senses. One of those intelligence centers, the lust can sit in there, and that affects us in a certain way. And then the mind also. The mind can become affected by kama, this idea of enjoying the material world. And then if the intelligence becomes infected, that's really dangerous. That's why human beings can be so dangerous, because the intelligence is so subtle, you can figure out all kinds of things, like how to build a jet. And let's figure out how to fly in the air. You look at a bird and go, I could do that. I just have to sit here long enough and draw something on paper. That's the intelligence of a human being. You can figure these things out. Let's talk to people across the ocean without having to go there. And then you figure out a telephone and the internet and all these kinds of things, right? The intelligence is very subtle like that. But if it becomes infected, if it becomes affected by lust and the desire to enjoy the material world, what kind of destruction and havoc can you wreak with an intelligence affected like that? And so Krishna says for a yogi, for one who's progressive, who wants to get out of the material world, you have to regulate the senses and so that you can free yourself from that lust and become extricated from that situation. And that's the first thing. One has to regulate the senses. And to do that, one has to be engaged in some kind of a service for someone. We're all engaged in service, but the right kind of service adjusts our senses in such a way that they become purified. And this is the process of sadhana bhakti, of being engaged in regulated devotional service meant to please the senses of the Lord. Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam. This kind of seva, to please the senses of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we can ask for that. That's what we should beg for. Please, let me be properly engaged in seva. We're all engaged in seva, right? Who are we serving? Tell me who you serve. Come on. Senses? Okay, well, that's, you knew that was coming. It's a philosophical thing. But tell me, like, who do you serve on a daily basis? Who do you... Boss? What's his name? Huh? Sandeep? Okay, so Sandeep is my boss, right? And I'm serving Sandeep. But not really. Because if Sandeep, if I come in the next day and Sandeep says, you know, you keep coming in, but I'm just not going to pay you anymore, what'll I say? Sandeep, take a hike. I'm not serving you anymore. I'm not serving Sandeep. I'm serving money because I want the money. I just want the paycheck. That's all. I'll do whatever you say as long as you pay me, right? And as soon as you stop paying me, then I quit. Pretty much immediately. I'm not going to wait even a week. I could be somewhere else serving someone else for money so that I get the money. So why? I can live in a house. My senses can be protected. I can get what I need. I'm serving my senses. This serving of the senses is going on and on and on and on. And of course, the senses have to have something. Kama sa nendriya pritir labo jivita yavata jivasya tatva jignasya narto yas cheha karmabhi. Someone asked me yesterday in a letter, how much are we supposed to serve our senses? Because some people say, don't exercise because you can get all the exercise you need by dancing in artik. Everything else is maya. And also, don't take any outside help because, you know, we have everything. If you just chant Hare Krishna, everything is taken care of. So what should I do? He wanted to know. There's this great divide. Some people say this, some people say that. And then the Bhagavatam says, Kamasya nendriya pritir labo jivita yavata jivasya tatva jignasya narto yascheha karmabhi. That You should serve the senses just enough so that they stay vital enough so that you can inquire about the absolute truth. So we have to satisfy the senses to a certain degree, but it's meant so that we can stay balanced to inquire about the absolute truth. And this is the process of devotional service, in submission to ask the Lord for some kind of service. And will he give it? Will he give some kind of service? If we ask sincerely, he'll give us a little service, and we can take that service and regulate the senses around that service, and then the senses become purified. Rishikena, Rishikesa, Sevanam Bhaktiruchite. By engaging regulated service to the Lord with the purpose of pleasing him, we can come to that position. And it's recommended in Nectar Devotion, submission, that we should ask all kinds of progressive things from the Lord. That's his position. He gives us. He's giving us anyway, so just ask for the right things. And I just brought this out from this particular verse because it's mentioned in the purport about the inconceivable potencies of the Lord. And we should remember this, that the Lord has inconceivable potencies. He knows our intention. He knows what we're asking for. And he can arrange everything at any time. If one remembers Lord Chaitanya, then difficult things become easy. And if one forgets Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, then very easy things become difficult. So this is the key to life, to remember the inconceivable potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how he's a desire tree. He's fulfilling everyone's desire. And to be in the right association so that we can ask for the right things and become master askers. Ask the Lord for the privilege of devotional service, to be engaged in his service, and he can arrange everything. Reflections. We'll take three reflections. Rakshit.
When you were saying that when you do arthik, it is like exercise. You don't have to do that separately. And I felt that way yesterday in Harinam with the chanting and dancing that was going on. Because prior to that, I was thinking of going for a workout, but I didn't have time. So I said, we'll go to Harinam. And after Harinam was done and we had danced and all, I said, my workout was done for the day. It had that effect. The other point was that you mentioned about the intelligence getting infected with lust. And I was thinking about the process, as you were saying, that the other organs also get infected, that it must start with mental concoction, that one is concocting in the mind that one wants to do something, which is where desire must originate. And I think there's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita also, yes, that it is starting from mental concoction. So that intelligence must then, it takes hold of intelligence or gets intelligence because one is concocting in the mind and bringing the other senses and
it's
organs
an important
into
point
it.
Because we should know also, we're talking about how to become purified, but we should also know how we become contaminated also. And Krishna describes that, as Rakshit Prabhu is bringing up, jayato vishayan pumsam sangas teshu pajayate. So the beginning is that we become we have sangha between the senses and the sense objects, and we let the mind contemplate it. So Krishna says, well, contemplating the objects of the senses, we develop attachment for them. So if we develop correct knowledge, then it's possible for us to break that kind of contemplation, the process of contemplation. How? Here's an example. For instance, if you're standing in line at the supermarket and the person in front of you drops a $100 bill and you see that it fell right from his pocket, then if you're a good person, you'll pick up the $100 bill and you'll give it back. You won't really have an idea of enjoying the $100 bill because you knew where it came from, right? So the same thing, when we see everything in the world in its proper relationship to Krishna, that it all comes from Krishna. This is called sambandha gyan, knowing the relationship of the material world to the Supreme. Aham sarvasya prabhavo, it all comes from him. So if I know that, when I begin to contemplate the objects of the senses, I'll think, that doesn't belong to me. And if I try to take it, I'm a thief. And what happens to a thief? What happens to a thief? Huh? Thief gets punished, and what about before he gets punished? What happens to his psychology, somebody who steals? They're always in fear. Yeah, there's always fear. If you steal something, I always think, like, what's the use of robbing banks? Because, you know, someone robs a bank, and then the rest of their, all the time, usually they have to hide the money, right? And then if they start spending it, there's a paper trail, and everyone track them down. You can't enjoy stolen money from a bank. Really? They'll trace you, they'll track you down. The whole time you're spending it, you'll think, I'm going to be caught, right? A bank robber is always caught. They always catch him in the end. And so when we understand properly that what the energy is, what the material energy is, and what its relationship is to Krishna, then that contemplation means a contemplation to enjoy it for myself. I'll keep this for myself. That's mine. That's what the mind does. Prajahati yada kamam sarvam parta manogatan. Krishna says, manogatan means the mind goes. That's what the mind, when it's contaminated, it goes there. Manogatan means it goes, it goes, it goes. And prajahati yada kamam, it concocts things. It makes up this whole scenario. It creates it in the mind. It's not actually taking place. But we think of it. Like, there's an example of a lusty man, and he gets on a train. And the train goes through a tunnel. And just before it went through the tunnel, an attractive woman got on the train. And then when he was going through the tunnel, all the lights go out in the train. And then the train jostles. And he can feel somebody, like, rubbing up against his arm. And in his mind, he's concocting, oh, that's that attractive woman who got on the train. And he starts thinking, well, you know, her arm's touching my arm. And then he starts thinking, well, you know, maybe when we come out, we'll start talking, and then we'll get married. And then after we get married, then we're going to have this house, and we'll have children, and, you know, I'm going to show her off to all my friends and my family, and, you know, I'm going to be a big man because there's this beautiful woman, and, you know, he's thinking, and all of a sudden, the train comes out from the tunnel, the lights come back on, and there's this decrepit old man that had also been on the train, and he's the one touching, and then immediately, he recoils, and he thinks, oh, get away from me, don't touch me. This is prajahati yada kaman. The mind concocts this idea that I'm enjoying in the material world. It's a kind of a virtual reality that's created by my connection. And this is jayato vishan pumsam. If the unrestricted mind, it goes here, it goes there, and it contemplates, and it creates all these ideas and scenarios. And actually, from the external point of view, other people watching someone you try to enjoy, they think, like, what's he doing? You know, it doesn't even look attractive from the external point of view. It's like there's, I went to an aquarium once, and there's these, what are they called? Sea cows. It's a really, I mean, from my perspective, it's a really ugly animal. But, you know, a sea cow thinks that its mate is really beautiful. They're really attracted and make, like, you know, sea cow gestures. And they have a whole mating ritual, you know. It's like, hi, you know. It's like, you're really ugly. But everyone's concocting in their mind some idea about, you know, their connection to this material world. But when we have sambandha gyan, we understand this world is not my home. I have no connection here. It belongs to somebody else. And my attention to these sense objects is misplaced, and that it causes me a downward cycle of suffering. Then even though the mind, because it's addicted, it's used to jumping here, it's jumping there, we don't become affected by the jumping process. And that's why Krishna says, apuryamana machala pratishtam samudramat pra pravishanti yadvat. You become like the ocean. Even though those sense objects and the stimuli are entering within, you're detached from it. You see that's not me. I'm not going to chase it. I'm not going to be a kamakami. I'm not going after those things. So, jayato vishayan pumsam sangas te shupajayate. If I contemplate it, contemplating means I think there's something in it for me. I look there and I go, like, there's something in that for me. That's contemplation. And as soon as you have that thought and it connects to the sense object, then the downward spiral begins. Jayato vishayan pum sangaste. Then you have sangha. You've achieved sangha with the sense object when you think, there's something in that for me. That's why people advertise like that. In advertising, when they teach people how to advertise, here's what they do. They say, start with this idea. Put "you get" at the top of the page and then a colon, and then list all the things that they're going to get from your product. So when they look at it, they'll think, there's something in it for me. That's what everyone wants to know. So when I get knowledge from the proper source, there's nothing in this material world for me. There's nothing in it for me. In fact, if I take it, I'll be beat with shoes after I take it. I may get it, but then I'll be chased down to the ends of the earth and someone will beat me with shoes until I give it back up again. If I understand that fact from hearing Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita, I won't look around so much. Or if I do look around, I'll look around with a spirit of dedication. This is the worldview of the devotee, dedication, that everything can be dedicated to the Lord. And then you can move in the world and it doesn't touch you. The sense objects do not, you don't have sangha with the sense objects. There's no sangha. Ramananda Roy was teaching beautiful young girls how to dance. And he was even touching their bodies. But because he was living a life of dedication and his entire purpose for training them was so that they could perfectly enact the pastimes of the Lord for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath when they danced, there was no sangha. Absolutely no sangha at all. Miraculous. And Haridas Thakur, when he is chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And a prostitute came to him in the dead of night to attract him away so he could be defamed. No sangha, except his dedication brought him to have compassion for that person and think, let her become a Vaishnavi. And she did because of that. So the Vaishnav moves in the world out of dedication and not out of sangha with the sense objects. And because of that, he or she is not touched by the sense objects. And therefore, Krishna says, it's just like a turtle can extend its limbs and then draw them back in. And at the appropriate time, bring them out and then bring them back in. Has complete control. And this is only achieved perfectly by a Vaishnav, because a Vaishnav is living a life of dedication. And that dedication means everything's for Krishna. Everything's for Krishna. And when that's there, then the material world actually becomes the abode of joy. Prabodhananda Saraswati describes the material world as the abode of joy. How could someone think like that? If you just watch a nature film, there's a little thing, everyone's eating everyone else. It looks like a horrible place. But for a Vaishnava in dedication, they're thinking everything's for Bhagavan. Everything's meant to be engaged in his service. So he's happy. He's detached. But he's also attached on the right level. He's attached to service, to seva, and he's greedy for it. He wants more seva. The whole world becomes like, how can I engage the whole world? Right now I'm only engaging my little room, but I want to engage my house, and after my house, my neighborhood, and after the neighborhood, the whole village, and after the village, the world. And someone who thinks like that, Krishna gives them that seva. And Prabhupada came and lit the whole world on fire. Hanuman went and lit Lanka on fire and jumped over an ocean. He wanted that seva so bad that Krishna fulfilled his desire. He empowered him. And that's the relationship between us and Krishna. He can fulfill that desire. And we can take unlimited amounts of service according to our desire. And Krishna can empower us unlimitedly. So that's we should remember Krishna's potency. And that our job as living entities is to serve him. And you can become as lusty as you want when it comes to service. You become as greedy as you want when it comes to service. Get greedy. Get service. Got service? Get greedy. Get it. And if you get that kind of service and that kind of correct mentality of dedication, wanting to dedicate everything, then you move in the world flawlessly and your life becomes perfect.